This is Air Commander Starscream, and you are listening to Half Measures. Half Measures? Sounds like Megatron's battle strategy.
Kia ora and welcome to episode 197 of the Half Measures podcast. We are racing towards episode 200. This is part two of our top 10 TV shows of 2023. I'm once again joined by my friend and co-host, Mr. Paul Knauer. Are you looking forward to part two of this episode?
Honestly, it's been a long, long wait. Happy New Year to you, by the way. It's been a wait, and I've been taxing my brain thinking, What else might Dan have in his top five? I've updated my bingo card just a little bit, but I'm anticipating a minimum of two crossovers in this next section, and I'd say probably three, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think there'll be at least maybe an honourable mention crossover and maybe two on the list. I'll give everyone a really quick recap just in case people have skipped part one of this episode. So what we do here is we do our top 10, we do two honourable mentions at the start of each of our lists, just for things that haven't quite made the top 10, but we still think are great TV shows. So Paul's two honourable mention in the previous episode were The Night Agent Season 1, Bosch Legacy Season 2, and then his number 10 down to number 6 was The Diplomat Season 1, Bodies, the miniseries, The Gone Season 1, Silo Season 1, and Beef, the miniseries. For me, for my two honourable mentions, it was The Mandalorian Season 3, and then Jack Ryan Season 4, and my number 10 to 6 was Ahsoka Season 1, Happy Valley Season 3, Special Ops Lioness Season 1, Mayor of Kingstown Season 2, and Swarm Season 1.
Very good.
It is it's interesting for long time listeners. We often have quite a few crossovers. We have not had, we've had one crossover of Ahsoka, but it's yet to be revealed where that sits in Paul's list. We are expecting some more crossovers. So let's not dilly dilly too much, Paul. Shall we jump into the business end of things? What is your first honourable mention for me?
I can throw the talking stick straight back your way, Dan, because my first honourable mention is Ahsoka Season 1. So you had it in number 10. I had it just as the honourable mention. So that's where it sits for me. And we talked about it last week, of course. Top, top show. But yeah, that's my first honourable mention, Dan. So straight back to you, sir, for your honourable mention number one for this podcast.
Wow, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, without sort of re-unpicking the whole thing, like we often have Star Wars shows like Obi-Wan, Mandalorian, far higher up our list. But the fact, you know, I've had The Mandalorian and you've got Ahsoka, it's interesting. It's times are changing.
It's good balance. It's good balance then, because I think one year we had The Mandalorian, we had Andor, Obi-Wan. It's like, there's only so much you can have before you start saying, okay, I'm a real fan of the show, we get it.
I think you're right. All right, so my honourable mention is I'm actually going to go with Season 3 of Ted Lasso, Apple TV show. Is this on your list before I go too deep?
It's not. It's another non-crossover. This is a record year for us. It's incredible. And so, just before we start, Dan, again, full spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen these shows. We're talking full spoilers.
Yeah, definitely. So, look, I watched the first season of Ted Lasso a very long time ago. For some reason, never carried it on. With Paul's rewatch, I was inspired to sort of go back to the beginning. The wife and I both watched it together. We kind of binged through all three seasons. Season one and two, absolute top tier television. Season three, still really enjoyable. Still a lot of really great characters. A lot, like, these are characters that you really kind of, you feel for, and you just kind of appreciate their lives. And you know, we've talked about this a lot with you, Lasso. Like this is a show about football, but isn't about football at all. It's about the sort of the heart and the community and everything that comes with it. And Ted Lasso as a character is just phenomenal. Like, you can't help but take both life lessons, leadership lessons, motivation from someone like Ted Lasso, surrounded by, again, an incredible supporting cast. Season 3 was a strange one for me in the sense that it kind of like a little bit longer than maybe it needed to be, and quite an abrupt ending to what I thought was sort of quite a good sort of universe building show. So I could have seen the show go on for sort of at least 4 or 5 seasons, but nevertheless still had a fantastic time. It's really getting its honorable mention spot, I think, because of how much I love these characters. And you know, sometimes you put a show down and you genuinely miss these people in your life. That this was a show like that for me. It just has a lot of heart, and it's so different and so wholesome in such a good way that you can't help but have a good time.
Great that it's on your list, Dan, because everything you just said, even when I just look at the picture, I feel like if I'm feeling down or about, I feel like I just need to look at a picture of Ted Lasso or just watch a little clip, and I instantly just feel just a little bit better. I would say this was potentially, I would say, the second best finale of a TV series of 2023 in terms of final episodes. It was possibly the most emotional TV series finale I've seen for a while. It really hits all the right notes. And by the end, like you say, you just don't want it to end. You really do want another season. And, you know, he is just one of the greatest characters ever created, and someone we should all aspire to in some way. He's just overwhelmingly positive. And I've yet to see Jason Sudeikis in anything subsequent. And I'm wondering how I'm going to cope with him not being Ted, because he's probably won't have the mustache, which will probably help. But he's just synonymous with that character and just wonderful to watch.
And I think what was really awesome about Ted Lasso, just on as a whole, is, you know, Ted Lasso is the most upbeat, happy-go-lucky, always positive character, but they didn't shy away from almost sort of the darkness that comes with that happiness, and that actually there is unhappiness in his life, and he isn't always that person. And every now and again, the show just took a deeply serious turn, which I think kind of really humanized Ted Lasso as well. So
correct, yep.
I think you've got to give them credit. I think, you know, you talked about this originally when you first reviewed season 3. It felt like there was sort of no coming back from what happened in season 3, and that they really, I think, did put a bow on that story. But I also have to give a shout out to Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent, just a fantastic, fantastic character. I love that his character is allergic to using whistles, and so he has to yell whistle at people when he wants to
whistle.
This is a good one. This is a show you can watch with the parents. This is a show that is worth getting an Apple TV subscription for. It's that much fun. If you haven't watched Ted Lasso and you're looking for some feel-good, good sort of sitcom is the wrong word, but that type of show, then this is probably one for you. And please don't be put off by the football element. It's a small part of a fantastic story.
It is. It's a vessel to tell a story. And my shout out on there would be Nick Mahabed as Nathan Shelley. His story, his redemption story from the tyranny of the West Ham story and the owner there, and then the return, controversial, but just really heartwarming. There were some moments, as you said, season 1 and 2 were top tier. This season, the Juno Temple story with her Keely Jones story, just there were some odd moments there, which just, but putting that aside, I think this is one that just finished on such a high that it was definitely worthy of consideration for the list. So I'm glad you've got it in there as a mention.
Very nice. All right. So back to you then. What is your second honourable mention?
Yeah, so the second honourable mention before we get into the real stuff is season 2 of Creamery. And so another shout out for a New Zealand made show here. For anyone who hasn't seen anything to do with the show, this is a comedy drama set in the future where the male population across the globe have been wiped out by a pandemic, and then these three dairy farmers in New Zealand stumble across the last living men. Honestly, just an awesome series. You and I had a lot of fun reviewing this earlier in the year. I think I said at the time, I don't think I've laughed as much at the New Zealand comedy since Flight of the Conchords. And I think compared to season one, which I had in that 2021 podcast we talked about last week, there's a confidence about this show now that they've laid the groundwork and they showed us what they're about. And then now they've got this real swagger in their performances and a real confidence that comes through. The writing is right up there again. It tackles, you know, some of those patriarchy themes, the feminist themes, but it does it with the whole Kiwi comedy angle and a really raw edge. And there was some very violent, very sad, very emotional scenes in this as well. So they mixed a lot of things in here where you could have something really serious going on, but then you could be ending the scene sort of laughing.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, this is, well, it's not funny, but it's like, it is such a crazy TV show to have here in New Zealand. And I actually almost can't think of another, like, country that could pull this TV show off. Like, I feel like if it was American, it would become way too Handmaid's Tale.
That's right.
It almost kind of feels like in New Zealand, Australia is like almost kind of the only place that it could kind of comfortably exist, because it's so un-PC and so classic Kiwi comedy, but so different. And it's, as you say, it's really pushing the boundaries on some of the topics that they're dealing with. This is a very good shout.
And I think you're right sort of saying about how, yeah, if it was American, it would go Handmaid's, because what they've done is this mini universe that they created, they've taken elements of Handmaid's Tale, but then they've reversed that dynamic in favor of women and then made it this sort of comedy element. So that's a real big draw card. But the production quality, you know, I talked about this last podcast when I talked about The Gone from a New Zealand standpoint in terms of that being a top tier drama. This sets a standard for comedy production as well. It's right up there. Editing, cinematography, production design, it all doesn't, you know, I don't know how to say it, it doesn't look cheap. It doesn't look like a lot of New Zealand TV that I have seen. It just looks top quality. And I think, you know, the three leads are all so good in their role. You know, all Kiwi actresses of Asian descent, as too is the writer, director and friend of Half Measures, Roseanne Liang. They've all worked together for a long time at Flat 3 here in New Zealand, and they've got a real good camaraderie that comes through. Always a little bit risque, just stay sort of, what do you call it? Like a straight up no filter Kiwi approach, and just a lot of fun and really easy to watch, because each episode is only 24 minutes, and, you know, six episodes of that, you're done in a couple of nights.
I think you're right too. It's the bond between our three main actresses, which is like, you can just tell it's so strong, and the banter and the frustration that they share with each other and the sort of different characters that they're playing is so well done. Pip is one of my most favorite TV show sort of characters in this universe. Yeah. She's so fun, and like there's a lot of laughs to be had here, even though the subject matter can have moments of intensity.
Indeed. So, yeah, so that's season two of Creamery. Both seasons available in New Zealand on TVNZ Plus. Dan, what's your second honourable mention?
All right. Now, this is interesting. I thought this might have been one of your honourable mentions. So it's making me wonder now, has it made it to your top five?
Ooh.
This is Time season two.
Incredible. It's not on my list. It was so close, but it didn't make it. We're literally like these two great planets that sort of come together, and they just miss each other on each occasion, just so close, because we could easily have had the same things missed out and the same things in, but no.
It reminds me of that meme of Five from the Umbrella Academy, and he's, you know, driving by in the car, and he's like, you know, like looking.
Oh, yeah.
This is our list of driving past each other.
Yeah.
So Time season two is a TV show we've only just reviewed a couple of episodes ago, and this is another fantastic British television show. Season one and season two, though connected, are kind of independent. Season one focuses on a men's prison. Season two focuses on a woman's prison. It's only three episodes, but they, for me, are three of the, you know, for season two and one actually for that point, three amazing episodes, which give you so much character depth, heartfelt to tell amazing sort of stories of these three women and their different sort of points they're at in life, how they kind of come together, how they kind of end up in jail, the way the system's kind of working against them. Bella Ramsey, complete and utter star. Jodie Whittaker, absolutely incredible. Like, it's just, it's so good. Tamara Lawrence, like, these three women are just, you can't help but feel for them. You can't help but sort of feel how the system is so against them. You can't help but be on their side. And I honestly can't get past how much depth they can give us for these three characters who I just want to know so much more about. I want to watch, you know, another three seasons about, but the fact that they can tell these stories in three episodes, there's no way I couldn't give this an honourable mention shout out.
So glad you did, because, you know, I mentioned at the time Jimmy McGovern, a favourite writer of mine from the days of Cracker. What you've just described there, that ability for you to create such strong connections with the characters in such a short period of time. And this is, you know, we see this so often in TV shows that we review that maybe don't even come close to the top 10. And a lot of the time we talk about writing, and I think that ability to create that emotional connection, it's such a brutal show. It's so stressful and tense, you know, I just absolutely love, as I think I said at the time, seeing Jodie Whittaker on screen being given top quality writing. You know, I she's really right up there with me, with some of my favorite actresses, and Bella Ramsey as well. You know, I think, you know, it's that sort of the social services side of things, and the character, what's her name, that we talked about with Happy Valley, Siobhan Finneman, you know, as the clergy, just those characters and the things that they try to do, the restorative justice type things. There's a lot of themes in here which are powerful and hard to watch, and some of the things that happen to them are very hard to watch, but that makes it that compelling watch. I'm so glad you've got it, because this was the last one that got put out of the list, and it was hard. You know, I feel awful when I look at the ones that didn't make it.
Indeed. So this, you can watch season one and two on Neon here in New Zealand. Again, three episodes per season, highly recommended. Make sure you're in the right headspace to watch it, though. It is very, very raw. So yeah, that's the end of our honourable mentions. We're now into the nuts and bolts, as they say, Paul, into number five of your top 10.
Let's see. This is, I sound like a broken record here, another joint watch. So there's another opportunity of it being on your list. Season one of Blue Lights. Oh, wow. Another one. This is incredible. All right. So, and I know this was a show you enjoyed as well. So that's why I thought it might be on the list, but I put a black mark on my bingo card here. This is, I want to start it with another, just like I did last week, shout out to, you know, regular listener, Bruce Gray of Scotland, who got this on our radar. We had to wait quite a while for this to land here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and it arrived on 3 Now, which is a platform we don't see much action with, but it was worth the wait. And as I've said before, when I talked about The Gone last week, police dramas are my thing, and this is my only police drama that's inside my top five. So as 2023 goes, as someone who watches a lot of, you know, police dramas, this is the best out there for my money. And yeah, I think what I enjoyed the most about this, and I think we talked about it at the time, the relationship between the characters. So yeah, we got all these up-and-coming rookie police officers in Belfast, sort of starting on the ground, and the relationships that they're forming with their mentors. And just like you talked about with time, in terms of the ability to care about characters so quickly, I think it is a really rare thing to care about characters so quickly. And I think that the writing, again, is where the credit's due. And I think the co-creators, Declan Lawn and Adam Patterson, should take a lot of the credit here.
This show, Paul, so, like, I was literally humming and hawing till the last minute. am I going to put time or am I going to put blue lights? Mm. And so, and even just hearing you kind of recap blue lights, I feel like I've missed a step because I probably should have included it. This, it is such a fantastic show. There's something about it's the sort of the, obviously this is Belfast, but sort of that kind of British, Irish, like it's cop shows that just kind of really, they resonate with me so much. And I love a show about like rookie cops. I love to see what's kind of happening on the streets. It's, I don't know what it is. It's like this weird kind of, it's the same with prison TV shows. I'm just like fascinated by them. And this was a TV show when Bruce recommended it. And I'm so glad he did. And just like you said, it's got all the things that tick all the boxes for us. This is right out there. This should be this is rightly in a really good place on the top 10 list. I'm so glad that you've included it. One of my favourite lines out of that TV show, and I think we used it as the episode title, was, "I don't listen to music, like I like podcasts." And it's,
yeah, that's right.
It's so good.
Yeah, I did love the I love podcasts moment, because you know, I think there's that chance that maybe he was listening to Have Matters. You just don't know. But I did find myself so invested in each of those new hires and what was happening to each of them. They each had their own story, and I wanted all of them to succeed and overcome the difficulties. And, you know, we said at the time that, you know, about favorite characters, mine was Jerry, played by Richard Dormer, just so well. And what happens to him and the emotions everyone goes through at the end, we go through it as the audience. But those younger characters in particular, Annie, played by Catherine Devlin, and Tommy, by Nathan Braniff, absolutely superb. And I do think it's rare to get a feel-good factor combined with the drama of a police-based show, and then, you know, have some comedy thrown in there as well, because the comedy in this was absolutely hilarious. Especially the sort of scenes when they're in the car and they're sort of arguing over the music, or is she going to try some of his food? And I just loved all of that stuff.
It's good. This is a top recommendation. This is another. I think the parents will like this one. So it's a good, very good shout.
And in amongst all these new people, we've got some great, you know, standout performances. People that John Lynch, Darlene Kane, both of whom we know from The Fall. Darlene Kane was, of course, in Rogue One as Lyra Erso, and John Lynch also in Line of Duty. So you've got some sort of like some established actors amongst some of these people who are sort of, I think maybe I'm wrong, maybe making sort of like one of their first few performances and really sort of getting themselves on the mat. But yeah, by the time you get into episode two, you're just hooked, because I do remember the first episode I was thinking, oh, is this for me? I wasn't sure, but then it was one of those ones that just got better and better. And we do know we're getting season two, so we'll be there for that. But yeah, that's my number five, and as I say, available here in New Zealand on Three now. What have you got at number five, Dan?
I will be gobsmacked if this is not on your list, Paul. Like this is I'm expecting this has got to be a crossover. For me, this is season one of The Last of Us.
That is also on my list, Dan.
Very good. We've done it. We're finally connected. We've crossed streams, even though they say you should never do it. So this is, I think, for me, one of the greatest TV shows of 2023. Stars much love Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey, based on the video game The Last of Us. After a global pandemic destroys civilization, a hardened survivor takes charge of a 14-year-old girl who may be humanity's last hope. Now, I'm always reluctant, and like many people are, anything that sort of goes from game to TV show to movie, like, is it going to work? Is this going to, like, can they pull it off? Can it sort of deliver the, you know, The Last of Us as a video game is, it's a pretty top tier video game in the PlayStation community. There's a lot of fans out there, but I think the show did that and so much more. It's such a, you know, in a world where we've got so much sort of, you know, Walking Dead, zombie apocalypse, sort of Black Summer type stuff. Like, I think the show manages to do something new, and despite so many people kind of knowing The Last of Us story, it still manages to really kind of encapture a lot of people. I think, you know, Pedro Pascal as Joe Miller, absolutely fantastic. Bella Ramsey as Ellie Williams, amazing. We've got Kiwi stars like Melanie Lynskey in here. So many just fantastic episodes. There's, I think, one of my favourite episodes of this whole show is with Nick Offerman, who plays a character called Bill, who...
Yes, so yeah, good.
You know, like, just so good. And just, you know, his relationship with his partner, how he kind of becomes friends with Pedro Pascal's character and their sort of journey, and how he's a real kind of survivalist. And again, like, one episode in a 10-episode TV show that just can stand out so strongly is so incredible.
Everything you said, Dan, everything. And, you know, I haven't played the video game, but even though I haven't, I am still able to instantly connect with the story, with the characters. And whilst, I guess, you know, we talked about this with Ahsoka, I won't know what I'm missing out on. We talked about this with Bosch Legacy. I won't know what I'm missing out on that you're getting. I don't, the good thing is, I guess I don't have any sense of that or have any sort of questions that have gone unanswered. But I remember coming into this, and I think for me, the draw card at this point was Pedro Pascal. So much of the hype was around him in the lead role. And yeah, he is great. But for me, Bella Ramsey is the real star of this. And of course, we went on, you know, you've just talked about Time, you know, that we watched that after this. Just absolutely sensational. But this genre, I feel like it takes so many of the, you know, if you think about TV shows like, you know, Walking Dead or apocalypse movie type things, similar nature, Black Summer, Resident Evil, whatever, it takes elements of those and it just brings out the best of each of them. And the creatures themselves are just so scary, crazy pace, relentless, super strength. Yeah, really, really enjoyable. And again, another one of those where season two can't come quickly enough, even though it's somewhere. But yeah, these episode ratings down on online, 9.1, 9.1, 9.4, 9.3, 9.0. I mean, really top tier.
This is definitely going to be a TV show that I would happily sit down again and just sort of binge for the pure love of it. And it's, yeah, I think season two, we're probably looking at 2025 from everything I know, just again with all of the delays and sort of setbacks. So it will be, and it'll be easy to kind of like rewatch this one before season two as well. So my only concern with sort of shows like this is obviously everyone's getting older and older as sort of the time it takes between each season. But I think we're in safe hands by the looks of things, and I think we're in for some real delights in season two if that wider video game is anything to go by.
It's like when you watch the first season of Cobra Kai compared to the last, or the first season of Stranger Things compared to the last, like how much people have aged. It'll be interesting to see how that looks. I think one other thing I would say is that it does well is it takes, you know, when we compare it to other similar genre type, it takes the best of them, but it also goes a cut above. And what it does is it keeps us focused in on just these two characters. And that's probably driven by the narrative from the video game, I guess, but because they've been so well cast opposite each other, it is a very compelling watch. And I know you at the time made a comparison of how many more things will Pedro Pascal show up in where he's having to look after someone young and take them through, you know, an unforgiving landscape. It's I see the comparisons there, but yeah, it'd be really interesting as someone who hasn't played the game to see where we're going with the next season.
Like, and Bella Ramsey for me, like, I first sort of came across her in Game of Thrones, and her performance in that is top tier, and I just think everything they turn their minds to is incredible. All right, Paul, we're racing down the list. Number four, what have you got for me?
Time for us to have another joint review, Dan. This is one of those ones that I said to you at the start, I put my house on it. This is season two of The Bear.
It is on my list.
The house is safe. Okay, the house is safe. That's good. This was a massive hit the first season. It's, you know, we both had it on our list in 2022, and so the fact that we both have it on our list for 2023 can be no coincidence. Some of the most educated people I work with in my day job also rave about this show. Just about everyone I talk to who's seen this is now part of this cult of fans of The Bear. If you've seen The Bear, you know, and it's just a wonderful show, Dan.
This is one of my most favourite TV shows of all time. I can't get enough of this TV show. Even talking about it right now, looking at the poster, just thinking about some of the episodes makes me want to watch it again. I think, you know, there was another show with like just fantastic episodes, right? Like, you know, that the Thanksgiving episode was, you know, really up there. But I think for me, my actual favorite episode might be that episode called Forks, which really focuses on Richie and his kind of evolution. And I think all of these characters, I want so much more of. I'm so glad we're getting more seasons. Give me like 10 seasons of the show. It's just incredible.
I think you're right. I think either Forks, the Richie one at the fancy restaurant, or the Christmas dinner. Both those episodes, just again, 9.6 out of 10, 9.7 out of 10 with over 15,000 votes. It doesn't need any proof to say you just... The Christmas episode, Dan, was just so stressful. And Jamie Lee Curtis was absolutely out of control. I remember that this performance got a mention when we did a peak performance for Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, a few weeks back. Just wonderful. Some wonderful sort of cameo performances coming in. Bob Odenkirk, Olivia Colman... the relationships always so stretched, always so just so raw. It's just genuinely brilliant. It's so original. It's like this emotional, I don't know, juggernaut that you just, it really gets you thinking though, because it's centered around the workplace. It does. I don't know about you. It makes me think about, you know, how are you treating people in that workplace? The patience that some people are capable of. And I'm wondering, how often do I test people's patience? You know, the toll it takes on them. But so many of these characters in this second season go on their own individual journeys that really adds a lot. And so in this respect, it's a kind of a perfect second season because it's thought-provoking. And I do think because they've gone in these separate directions somewhat in the second season, I do wonder if the third season, we might have everyone a bit more centered in on the restaurant, perhaps. I don't know, but we'll find out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Because I think season two almost kind of surprised me with how different it was to season one in terms of sort of growing those other characters. But once I kind of got in the zone of that, I almost enjoyed it even more because it gave me so much more. I kind of had much more like heart and kind of investment in these different characters. And like I can't not rave about Jeremy Allen White. Like, you know, I've said this in our reviews previously, like he was fantastic in Shameless. He's fantastic as Kami in The Bear. I don't know, Paul, have you ever, you know, played or heard of a video game called Overcooked? Is that on your radar at all? This is, if you want to ever live the life of Kami the chef, this is a game that you can play with your family, where this is a slight tangent, where you basically like have to run these cooking stations, and so you have to kind of have you can play it co-op with your family.
Yeah.
Whether you want to stay as a family, though, you maybe not play it, but you basically have to have someone preparing meals, someone doing dishes, someone like prepping food and stuff. And these are real, like that's the stress that video game brings about is the closest to what I imagine it would be like to work in the high-paced world of Kami Burzetto.
So good. I love the sound of that. There is just an intensity about this show that's different because it's about, you know, it's about cooking in a restaurant. So the intensity, how can it be that intense? Well, it is. And I think the dynamics between, you know, John Bernthal's character, between Kami, between Richie, they're so strong. I've said this before for season one. I said it for season two when we reviewed it. I'll say it again. Sydney is my sort of standout character. I think she's only like the only sane one left in that place. and I really buy into her narrative. But the relationships between each of them, Cammy and Sid, they're the main driver of this. And I always remember us talking about how Cammy sometimes can say so little, but say so much with just his face, just his eyes. And they had those real big close-ups on him. And it's just really, really, really intense. Oliver Platt, as the uncle that came in, he was amazing too. The final episode was just absolutely sensational. But yeah, Richie, when he came back from that posh restaurant, he was calm and centered and had purpose. There was such a different vibe to the place. Just change one person. If you can calm him, you can calm the whole place. And it was amazing.
And I think, you mentioned earlier Olivia Colman, like a show where you can have someone make a brief cameo for sort of like, 5 minutes and have such a huge impact on on a force of energy like Richie, as you say, is this is even just talking about the show, I'm like, get a rewatch on board because I freaking love it. But at the same time, I almost like, is my heart ready for the stress of Yes Chef and Behind Chef? Right. And
it but is. It's
yeah, yeah.
You'll be saying it for weeks afterwards in the kitchen, and I remember we talked about going back to that final episode. Do you remember how they did those going through the doors, the transition from the front to the back with this seamless camera shot that sort of, and the change of music, change of lighting, change of energy, change of language, that's for sure. These two different worlds that were, but neither of them could exist without the other. It was just great storytelling, but a very visually, very audibly powerful to watch.
This is a great shout, Paul. And I'm glad that we've both got it in our top half or bottom half, depending on the way you want to look at it, of our list.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, definitely. Both of us in the top five. So that's your number. Where are we up to?
That's your one, but I.
Oh, sorry, that's my number four. Yeah. We've yet to find out where it is for you. That's my number four. So what's yours then? That was the.
All right. So yeah, this is confusing me with my tabs as well. I'm jumping all over the place. Number four for me is a show that I've only just recently reviewed. It is Blue Eye Samurai, which is a show that, Paul, you did have on your bingo list, which is but a pre-pod banter. Look, I've just reviewed this show. It is honestly one of my most favourite TV shows of the year. Animated, incredibly action adventure, in a sort of Edo period Japan, so sort of 1600s is Japan, following a young warrior who is on a path of revenge. So beautifully animated. So well voice acted. It is both full of heart and emotion and some pretty extreme revenge when it comes to some of the sword fights, as you would expect from samurais and warriors. I had a lot of fun with this TV show. I didn't know anything about it before I saw the title card appear on Netflix. As soon as I put it on, I couldn't stop watching. That's how much fun I had with this one. And I've recommended it to a few people, and it's a few people are put off by the fact that it's animated, and I think they're sort of thinking anime type TV show, but the animation quality is so high and it's so well done. This is, if this kind of any of the things that I'm saying, do you have any sort of appeal? I highly recommend checking it out. They've just confirmed it for a season two as well, so there's much more to come. Get around it.
It was such a recent review for you that, in fact, since we did it a couple of weeks ago, we haven't even had a regular pod since, and so we haven't had a regular mailbag since. So who knows? I may forget to say it by the time we do our next regular podcast. But we actually had Brian Kaysinger, who's the lead designer for this, for the animation, who's also done the lead design for Wreck-It Ralph, for Winnie the Pooh. He shared your review of this on Instagram, and a number of people that I've spoken to, because a lot of people, we interact with in our day-to-day lives, we'll talk about the things. This is one of those ones where a lot of people have come at me with the whole, why wasn't this a joint watch? And so it's already on the list because you convinced me with the passion. This was the only, this was the show, this was the first one I wrote down on what's on Dan's list, because I could tell.
It's almost like it's a difficult one to talk about without sort of going deep spoilers, and I think you do kind of want to go on the journey, because it is like, it's, I feel like when they get like adult animation right, it just hits so well. And you know, we talked about this in the review, it's by the writers of Logan and Blade Runner, it's there's a lot of good in here. I can't speak highly enough of it.
Very good. And another Netflix show on the list.
Then. Another Netflix. All right. So we are on to your number three.
Okay. So I can throw the talking stick back at you, Dan. Number three was The Last of Us season one for me. So just a wee bit higher for me. But yeah, that's my number three, Dan. So number three for you.
All right. Well, that's, we're very close in our placement of The Last of Us. All right, so number three for me is another TV show that I have raved about this year. This is Top Boy, another British TV show. It's, now it depends on, not on your bingo list by the looks of
things. No, I should have got that as well. That's an easy one. I should have got that.
So IMDb calls this season five. Sometimes it's called season three in other places. So there's basically, I feel like I have to say this every time I talk about the show, there was an original sort of Top Boy series, which they renamed Summer House, which is slightly older, but it is kind of the start of this series. So for the sake of this, let's call it season five, this was the final episode of this TV show. This is, you know, we talk about, you know, top tier British police shows. This is top tier British gangster TV shows. This is, you know, this is full drug trade, full kind of warring factions with police and other gangs. This is probably one of my most favorite, if I was to sort of rank my favorite TV shows of all time, completely up there. This is a show, again, I'm always be down for a rewatch on. I would love to go back and sort of do it sort of start to finish now. I'm trying to convince Samara of that at all given times. Our main actors, Ashley Walters and Kano, who play Duchesne and Sully, absolute top tier British actors. The show actually was brought back by Drake at one point to continue the story. Like that's how much how much this TV show is loved. This is a TV show where I end up kind of, after watching a season of this, talking about the peas and calling people bruv and all that sort of stuff. Like it's, you know, it really gets me deep into that sort of slang of the sort of English sort of drug culture. So it's season five really kind of wrapped up some of the wider stories. It's another one of those shows where not only is it kind of the drug trade, but it's actually the lives that these people have that kind of come wrapped up in that, the struggles that they have trying to sort of maintain sometimes a normal life, trying to maintain families, trying to put their kids through school, growing up in kind of low socioeconomic areas, the impact of the sort of drug trade to their friends and family and around them. It's so well done. It is very dark, but this is British TV at its best.
I was just doing a little bit of a wander through the creator's other material, and there's stuff in here that I really, really rate. So Ronan Bennett, who's created the show Public Enemies, I think is an underrated gangster movie. Another one in here, Face, which is 1997, but I remember this very vividly. This is Robert Carlyle, Ray Winstone. And so I'm getting a feel for his genre in terms of what he's done already. So in that respect, what you're saying about Top Boy feels like would be very much in his wheelhouse. So that does pique my interest just a tad more, to say nothing of the fact that this one places number three on your list. That's impressive.
And look, you know, if I was doing a top 10 of all time, this would 100% be in my list. And you've probably got two entry points with this TV show, right? Like you'll see on Netflix, you'll find Summer House is season one or two, and that's kind of the slightly older story, then it was kind of brought back to life and sort of rebranded as Top Boy. But then, as I was saying, it gets repackaged as a total of 5 seasons at times. But you could just jump in at the more modern Top Boy if you wanted to. But I think if you... It's all so good. I don't know why you wouldn't want to watch it, especially if you love this sort of crime drama. Highly rated. Another one you can watch here on Netflix at the moment.
Very good. Well, we're right down to it now. We're the silver medal and the gold medal. That's all we've got left. And I'm up first. And this is one that won't be on your list, Dan. This is one of the rare things on my list that wasn't a joint watch. And this is season 1 of Poker Face. So this is just amazing. This is 10 episodes of goodness that is just a absolutely brilliant way to spend a whole week of watching TV. This is about a character called Charlie who has an extraordinary ability to determine when someone is lying. Like, not just I think they're lying, but actually there's a sci-fi element here that she knows every time when someone lies, even from distance watching across the TV. And so she hits the road, and every time she stops, there's a new cast of characters and a strange crime comes along, and she gets caught up in it somehow and then sort of tries to get to the bottom of it. Absolutely exceptional. You and I have talked many times about the qualities that Rian Johnson brings to the table, and this is no exception. This is a show I think will be talked about for a long time. He takes a style that looks something like Tarantino, and yet it's modern day, and yet somehow it feels 70s. The look and feel, I think, would definitely be something that you would appreciate in that respect. Direction, production, really vibrant. And yeah, in the lead role, Natasha Lyonne, someone who I enjoyed in 2 seasons of Russian Doll, and she's quite famous for Orange is the New Black. Just so superb, so superb.
This is interesting. It's I've noticed on the old Tickety Talk that a few people are dropping their top 10 TV shows, and this is often on people's top 10 list. So I'm surprised how high it is up your list. Like, I know you really enjoyed the show, but to see it at number 2 in the silver medal category, I might need to consider my watch factor on this one.
Yeah, this would be I think last year my big sort of to you was, please finish Severance, please For All Mankind. My one this year, I think, would probably be, I'd say, I'll go Poker Face. I think you'd enjoy it. I think it'd be fun to review together. Adrian Brody, very good in this too. Another really cool thing is that each story, each crime, and each situation is a new location, and it's relatively encapsulated within that episode. And so there's this whole underlying story why she's on the run. That's what kicks off the show and is the longer story arc from the start. And that's interesting. And that, culminates towards the end, and the next season is going to go for that. But yeah, you can sort of get a sense of, you could just feasibly watch individual episodes quite easily. Nick Nolte, very rare on-screen appearance for him. He was superb. Just so compelling. She's just one of those actresses with such a unique voice as well. Just hilarious concept of a lie detector, basically. And I can't say any more. If you like Rian Johnson, if you like your clever twisty writing, if you like a Tarantino feel, this is 1000% for you.
I'll add the watch code to this. I better get it on the list. It's too high up the list for me not to reconsider.
It's an obligation, as you said earlier. Yes, so you can find that, Dan, on TVNZ Plus here in New Zealand.
Very nice.
Number 2, silver medal, Dan. What do you got?
Again, this is going to be very quick. This is The Bear season 2 for me. So very easy. I will pass the talking stick directly back to you for the number 1. Drum roll, please.
Okay, so the number 1, and yeah, we've talked a lot about streaming platforms, and I've had at least one from all the major players. even three now, the only platform that I haven't had in amongst my top 10, at least, is Prime Video until now. And this is season three of Picard. And this may well be an eye-rolling moment for some listeners. And Dan, I see your face there, and I get it. I do, I get it. But even if you're 100% not going to consider watching the show and you're getting ready to fast forward, to give me 60 seconds to balance out why this is really that good. So, firstly, I rated Picard Season 2 as one of the worst TV series I'd seen in 20 years. You may remember when I reviewed that and I said, this is awful. So I am quite balanced. I haven't even been able to finish watching Discovery Season 4. I've tried it three times. I find it that bad. Now, if you have a look on IMDb and look at Picard Season 2 and see how low it rates there, then flick over to Season 3. You'll see consistent high eights and high nines. And of every season that has aired in any Star Trek series in the last 57 years, this has the highest ratings of any season across all of them. I checked because I'm just that kind of person. So if this was a court of law, I believe the jury would have to believe the witness on these facts alone. In fact, the last individual episodes of this season hold the highest two ratings of any Star Trek out of over 900 episodes. Those are numbers. Those aren't my opinions. This is really, really, really high quality for me. And it is the best series of live action Star Trek I've seen since 1993, when The Next Generation aired its seventh and final season. And for me, in many ways, this is actually season eight of The Next Generation, because we get that whole cast back together. And I talked a couple of weeks ago about Frasier and how bringing everyone back sometimes doesn't work. This does.
Paul, you have blown my mind. I would have never picked this at all for your number one. And to be honest, I kind of forgot a little bit about Picard. And I can't help but feel like, you know, you and I love a good wrestling gif. It's like, you know, when, like, you know, they're like lifting up someone's arm and dropping it down. And then on the third time, the arm kind of like starts to waver. And it's like it's making the comeback. It's Picard is back. It's especially with, as you say, like the terrible review you gave season two, and now to find this at number one on your top 10 list is incredible. I'm sure this is, obviously by the reviews that are coming in on IMDb, shared by many a Star Trek fan.
Yeah, it really is. And I am as shocked as anyone because, yeah, season two was so it was so bad that it hurt. You know, when you've got a franchise that you love and something, you know, I'm going to point to you, Dan, and say season eight, your final season, sorry, of Game of Thrones. That was the feeling I had with Picard season two, and so it was such a redemption. I would argue for many of the returning cast, this is the best performances that they've given of these characters across these 35 years that they've been doing these characters. And I thought the danger of bringing them all back and then have a poor story would then tarnish the legacy of that show, because the Star Trek The Next Generation is my favorite show of all times. If you go onto our website, both of us have our favorite TV shows, our top 10 of all time. It's my number one. They wrote an incredible story with all these moving parts that keep you guessing. Virtually no filler from my perspective. They even brought in new characters, which at first I was like, what are we doing here? We've already got like the Picard cast and now all the Next Generation joining. We don't need more. But they had, you know, Picard has a son that he never knew about. That was a showstopper. The Starship Enterprise has not been seen since 1994 in the movie Generations with William Shatner. That's how long they brought it back in its original form. And so I'm fanboying a bit here, I get it. But to have the Enterprise on screen for the first time in 29 years and the entire bridge set was immaculate, it was a special, special moment. Throw in these outrageous musical scores where they took pieces of music from Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock and other places and put it all together, cameos that you couldn't predict. But just the key is the story. And that was what let season two down. These characters are great. They gave them a perfect story. And it's a series I was not prepared for in terms of this has stuck with me ever since I reviewed it back in April. And occasionally I'll go in and I'll just watch certain scenes from the last couple of episodes because it's just such an adrenaline shot. It's a milestone for me. I cannot believe that a Star Trek TV series will top this for many years to come. And that is my number one TV show of 2023, season three of Picard.
This is amazing, Paul. This has been a real eye-opening experience for me. Like, you know, as, like, I can imagine when people who don't like Star Wars hear us, yeah, like, or hear, yeah, people like me, like, drone on about, and then, like, you know, we saw Ahsoka as Snips, and Anakin was right there, and it was the most beautiful live-action moment I've ever seen. And it's like, you know, I can hear that passion in your voice, and it's just, like, it's interesting to hear, like, kind of being on the other side of it. So I'm glad that it's made a comeback. I'm glad that this, you can sort of consider this as season 8, yeah, of The Next Generation. It's very good.
What gets your gold medal, Dan?
What do you think it is, Paul, on your bingo card?
Well, I'm excited, but I'm also nervous because it would be spoilers for me, but I think it's season 4 of Succession.
You are 100% correct. So yes. I know that you are watching this, so I'm not going to go into sort of deep detail of this, but yeah, season 4 of Succession. I came pretty late to the Succession party, as I sort of mentioned, this year, and I kind of binged all 3 seasons, so I was kind of up to date for when season 4 came about. An absolutely incredible TV show. All 4 seasons have so many strengths. The cast, the wit, the humor, the everything about it, the storytelling, it's real kind of edge of your seat stuff. Season 4, without going in any details to ruin it for you, I just think was a, like, I didn't want it to end, but I think they ended it in a really great way. And I can't wait for you to kind of catch up and we can really sort of deep dive into what season 4 looks like. But you already know from the couple of seasons you've watched, like, Brian Cox is absolute standout as Logan Roy. His children, Roman, Connor, Shiv, Kendall, like, you kind of, you love to hate them. You go through the emotions with them. You know, you might like one of them one season. The next season, they're the absolute worst. And they're all kind of scumbags. And then you mix it in with characters like Greg and Frank. And it's Jerry. It's honestly, this is a TV, you know, I feel like I've said this quite a bit throughout this top 10 list. This is another show that I could go back to at any time and kind of sit down and rewatch. That's how much I enjoyed it. And I really love it when they end a series well. And I think they've done that here. So I think you've got a lot to look forward to.
Well, lucky for you, Dan, I've just finished season 2 of Succession. So next week, that's one of the shows I'm going to be bringing to the pod. So you'll have the chance to revisit some of the stories from season 2. But yeah, I was relatively sure. It's a great sign for me as someone who's on this journey to know it's not only in your top 10, but it's a number 1. I mean, that's really got me hyped to get through to the fourth and final season. But yeah, it's, as you say, you sort of love to hate them. It's the most enjoyable show about the most dislikable people. And they're all just cast just fantastically well. And I just, yeah, I'm fascinated to know what happens in season 4. And I'm gutted that we can't talk about it a bit more because I'm still behind here, but so many wonderful, Matthew McFadyen as Tom, Alan Ruck, you know, these two guys, the guy, Greg, they're sort of, all of those 3 are sort of side characters, you know, from the main family. They just crack me up the whole time. And then the language that they use with each other, you sort of see what, I mean, we talk about money, but this is like, this, we're talking about, you know, the owners of TV networks, billionaire, you know, just like, it's fascinating to watch. So good that you're number 1.
And I think, like you say, it's so much money and it's so unbelievable, and money kind of means nothing at the same time to these people. It's all it's all just
get in your helicopter and go out to dinner in the helicopter.
Yeah, you're giving your father-in-law like a, you know, a $200,000 watch for his birthday, and he doesn't even want it. And like, it's just, it's so ludicrously capacious, as Tom would say. Yeah. It's everything about it just works where it shouldn't. And I think, yeah, I think you just go on such a great journey with these characters. And so it's earned its spot well and truly for me. I just had so much fun with it. This was a show I was genuinely sad to leave behind. This is a show where you feel like you know these people and you want to know more about them, but they, And this is what HBO does really well, right? Like, I think, actually, that's not true. They sometimes mess it up, Game of Thrones. Is like, but, and you know, like, this is four seasons. We're wrapping it up here. Here's the story. It's kind of done. And I appreciate that because you, like, we, there is a history of shows like this sometimes just going on for 7, 8, 9 seasons, and it just kind of becomes the same story over and over. And I just think they've done something truly wonderful here. So it 100% deserves my number one spot.
And it's inspiration to play the piano just to be able to play that theme tune alone.
Incredible. I love that theme tune. It's so good. So should we run through the list, Paul?
Let's go.
It's the total. All right. Do you want to do yours first or do you want to run through yours?
Sure. So for me, I have my four honourable mentions. I have the season one of The Night Agent, season two of Bosch Legacy, Ahsoka miniseries or season one, we'll find out, and season two of Creamery. And then my 10-1 Diplomat season one, Bodies miniseries, The Gone season one, Silo season one, Beef season one, Blue Lights season one, The Bear season two, The Last of Us season one, Poker Face season one, and Picard season three. That's my full list. Dan, what's your full running order?
All right, so my honourable mentions are The Mandalorian season three, Jack Ryan season four, Ted Lasso season three, and Time season two. And my 10-1 Ahsoka season one, or miniseries, Happy Valley season three, Special Ops Lioness season one, Mirror of Kingstown season two, Swarm season one, The Last of Us season one, Blue Eye Samurai season one, Top Boy season five, The Bear season two, and Succession season four. So there we have it, Paul. I there's generally been some really big surprises for me on your list.
And it's the least crossovers we've had as well. So as time's gone on, Dan, we're drifting apart, you know. We're going in different directions. But there's what I loved about it was so many of them. If either one of us had gone slightly the other way, we could have actually had seven, I counted, in total. But we just, like, you know, you went Jack Ryan. I went, what am I thinking here? What was the series where I went?
Oh, and like Blue Lights.
Blue Lights or Silo, yeah. Or Beef.
Yeah.
Also an interesting split on platforms for me. I don't know if you've calculated yours, but for me, real big balance. I've got one on Three Now, one on Neon, one on Prime, one on Apple TV Plus, one on Disney Plus, two on TVNZ Plus, and three on Netflix. That's the 10 alone, at least.
Well, yeah, I think I've got a lot of Prime Video in mine. When I look across sort of Jack Ryan, Special Ops Lioness, Mirror of Kingstown, Swarm. It's, yeah, fascinating. This has been good. And I think from your list, I've got three potential watches. I've got The Diplomat, Bodies, and Poker Face, which is, I always appreciate adding new things to the list.
Yeah, I've got a couple from yours as well, and some that were already on there. Now get that second tick. So as we move forward this year, just as we did last time, I think I brought in Ozark and Succession, and you brought in Welcome to Wrexham, and there's another show from last year.
The Lazarus Project.
That's it. We could see some more. And now that we have our Watch of the Week feature as well, I feel like some of those shows that we've been watching out of kilter, we might be able to rein those back in too. But fascinating list for last year.
I think, too, there's a couple of shows, too, which, you know, you and I sort of talked about, which either we haven't had a chance to start yet because we're still catching up, or yes. Shows that have just, like, you know, for me, a show like Reacher Season 2 hasn't quite finished, so, like, couldn't make it into the top 10 for 2023 for me. Barry, the final season. There's all sorts of stuff which I just haven't even got to yet as well. So
I've got the same situation with Gilded Age season two. We've both got Slow Horses season three, which of course we will be reviewing very soon, and Reacher, and also Fargo season five. So there's a number of shows there that could have made the list. You just don't know.
the morning show season 3, which we haven't even got to yet. We've still got to do season 2. So there's probably a few contenders on there that this list could have changed had we been more up to date, or if those shows had maybe aired a little bit earlier in the year, which, you know, we say this every year. I think when you drop your TV show in December, it's great, but you do run the risk of missing out on the HMP top 10 of 2023.
More for you. What can I say?
Well, Paul, I guess that brings us to the end of another episode of the Half Measures Podcast and one of my favourite segments of the year.
Same here, Dan, same here. As we said last week, do get in touch and let us know what's on your list or what you vehemently disagree with on Dan's list. Maybe mine. Who knows? But thank you, as always, for listening in, and we're back to the regular format next week.
Indeed. Please do write in. We do love to hear what makes your top 10 list. So a very special shout out to our Patreon producers, Samara Whiting King, Diana Kanawa, Trisha Brady, and Michael Chalmers. But until next week, everyone, adios.